Aaron Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Family members of hostages still in captivity are pressing the Israeli government to bring home their loved ones after three hostages were killed Friday by friendly fire. Ruby Chen's 19-year-old son is missing.
What we need is for the Israeli government to put an offer on the table.
Renewed negotiations are underway. CBS News correspondent Remy Innocencio is in Tel Aviv.
We are working with Qatar and Egypt, said Benjamin Netanyahu late Saturday in his first acknowledgement that Qatar's Prime Minister, Mohammed bin Abdulrahman Al Thani, met Israel's spy chief, David Barnea, in France Friday. 2 days after Israel's war cabinet reportedly denied his offer to restart talks.
The U.S. is urging Israel to wind down operations in Gaza. France's foreign minister has a similar message. She spoke through an interpreter.
We think an immediate truce is necessary to allow progress to be made towards a ceasefire, to obtain the release of hostages, to allow the delivery of more humanitarian aid to the suffering civilian population of Gaza.
A remark former President Donald Trump made at a rally in New Hampshire is generating controversy. Fellow GOP candidate Chris Christie on CBS's Face the Nation.
If you watch that speech last night where he says that immigrants from Asia, Africa, and South America are poisoning the blood of America, I don't know how you could take someone like that and say that they're fit to be president of the United States.
A new CBS News poll on the GOP presidential race shows Trump is still dominant in Iowa, but losing some ground to Nikki Haley in New Hampshire. CBS's director of elections and surveys, Anthony Silvanto.
Trump, for his part, still does well on two key measures. One, he's seen as a strong leader, and two, that those voters think he can beat Joe Biden.
A big storm is moving up the East Coast, but it's not bringing snow, just rain. Meteorologist Zach Taylor is with the National Weather Service.
Tonight through Monday, the area of focus for the heavy rainfall and weather impacts will be mainly in the Northeast and New England, where there could be upwards of 1 to 3 inches of rainfall with some locally higher amounts. And so that could result in some flooding, including some river flooding.
Quaker Oats is recalling several of its granola products because they could be contaminated with salmonella.
The foods include the classic chewy granola bar variety pack, the chocolate-covered chewy dips bars, puffed and protein cereals, and granola bars that are included in some Frito-Lay snack boxes.
CBS News correspondent Matt Piper reporting. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Don't miss new deals every day during Lowe's 25 Days of Deals. Get up to 50% off select tools and accessories. Plus, bring home a Werner 4-foot fiberglass stepladder, now just $29.98. And get same-day delivery for eligible in-stock items when you order by 2 p.m. Lowe's knows deals every day. Valid through 12/20 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Delivery by 8 p.m. Subject to driver availability. Fees vary based on purchase. Additional terms apply. See Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery for details.
Last-minute shopping? Ulta Beauty has everything I need for everyone on my list. Ready-to-gift fragrance kits from YSL and Valentino. And the hottest gift sets from MAC, Tarte, and Lancome. Plus, everyone loves an Ulta Beauty gift card. Shop last-minute gifts that will bring joy to everyone on your list. Hurry in-store or place your online pickup order today. Ulta Beauty, the possibilities are beautiful.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Conservatives and conspiracy theorists over the 2020 presidential election results, despite recounts, audits, and legal opinions that upheld President Joe Biden's victory in Wisconsin. Democratic Governor Tony Evers also has vowed to veto the measure. Kronmiller feels there's still too much of an appetite to make what she thinks are unnecessary changes.
Just in recent weeks, other bills that have been introduced, which sort of, I think, show the hand of this legislative body, is that they're not really looking for more integrity in our elections.
Governor Evers recently vetoed a handful of election-related bills, and before the session, he rejected other measures he said would make voting harder. However, he did express support for a new plan that would allow election administrators to process absentee ballots the day before an election. Sponsors say that could reduce delays in vote counting. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refresh.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cloudy skies, highs topping out in the upper 40s, light west winds. For your Sunday night, drizzle and then changing to a little bit of light snow, mostly cloudy skies, blustery winds out of the west, lows dropping to the upper 20s. Right now, it's 37.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Left tech.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Oh, it is 7:06. What a gorgeous little pre-dawn sky we have out here to the east. Clear skies up here on Lake Wissota. Got your perfect little balance going from your dark blues to your light blues and your light pinks, and oh, it's going to be a gorgeous sunrise here in a little bit. Nice to have you along on this Tuesday, December 12th. Oh, we missed this in the last segment. What do we got for national days today? Let's see. It's a gingerbread house day. No, we mentioned that yesterday. Day of the Virgin of Guadalupe. It is gingerbread decorating day, International Universal Health Coverage Day. Let's see, National Poinsettia Day and National Ambrosia Day. What is National Ambrosia Day? Let's look this up. It is the day that the Greek mythological food ambrosia, also known as the food of the gods, is celebrated. I would have sworn it was a day to listen to soft rock from the 1970s. Apparently, if you have the food of the gods, this is the soundtrack to it. Just you hear a little ambrosia.
Or when your Aunt Arlene brings ambrosia salad over and you have to say, awesome.
So ambrosia salad is a creamy fruit salad, it says here, that can be made with any fruits of your choice. And it's only enjoyed on special occasions. I don't know. Should I put enjoyed in quotation marks for that?
I think it's fake enjoy on. Cool. We'll put that right on the table on the very end. Hey, Aunt Arlene, do you want me to pack up your ambrosia salad, taking it off my property?
Do you put cat food in your Jello? Yeah, so. All right. Again, there's probably going to be like a Christmas Vacation reference every day. That's just the rule. I don't make the rules. No. I just follow them. All right. Our theme for coming up later this hour is that small majorities don't have to be a problem. And we'll confirm that with Congressman Mark Pocan, who gives us an update on an otherwise forgettable 2023 for the House of Representatives, where the small Republican majority was the foundation for chaos and dysfunction. They got rid of their own Speaker of the House after it took so long to elect their own Speaker of the House. They've passed fewer bills than almost any Congress in history. Compare that to the previous session, where Democrats had an equally small majority and had one of the most productive two-year periods on record. So we'll do a little compare and contrast with Congressman Mark Pocan coming up a little later on this hour. We will also talk to Chad Holmes, find out what's coming up on Bull Falls Radio in the Wausau area later on, right after this program, one of several across the Civic Media Radio Network. And by the way, if you're curious about Chad's show or some of the other shows that are only on some stations, not others, or maybe you can't catch a program live, go to civicmedia.us for a map of the radio stations around Wisconsin and find out, you know, when shows are playing, and then also subscribe to some of those shows by podcast as well. Meanwhile, for what we do over at Up North News, which is a separate entity from Civic Media, you can go to upnorthnewswi.com and you can sign up for our daily newsletter there as well. Click newsletter in the top banner. And looking at what Christina put in today's newsletter, she has cheers to 30 years for the New Glarus Brewery, which opened up in 1993 and is now celebrating. And I personally have something to celebrate about them, which I didn't think about until I opened up the newsletter just now, Greg, but they have a new flavor and I don't have time to run to the fridge and get it, but it's cherry based somehow. And it is, now again, not everybody is a thing about, you know, fruit and beer, but I love my Liney Summer Shandy. And I'm telling you, this new cherry brew from New Glarus is as smooth and delicious. Now, again, you're not going to get a bucket of them, but if you want something different, well, hey, New Glarus, there's your free commercial for the new cherry beer whose name doesn't occur to me, the cherry beer.
Is it a 4-pack or is it a 6-pack?
It is a 4-pack. Okay. Yes.
They had a porter called Smoke on the Porter, which had meat smoke in it years. They makes it, I think he's made it twice ever.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so delicious. Please make more.
Oh, nice. Okay. Let's see. I think I found it here. So of course you got your Spotted Cow. Let's see what else they got there. The two women, the Moon Man,
those two are red. Great.
There's one called Raspberry Tart.
That one will mess you up.
Oh, yeah, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's just called Belgian Red Cherry.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's really good. So anyway, there's an article about their 30th anniversary today in the newsletter. Let's see, along with how you can plan a swimmable staycation at some of the state's best hotels with indoor pools. And then a new story on how student debt cancellation works, given that President Biden has canceled so much more student debt. So get all that in our newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. I could go for one of those indoor type of swimming vacations. We used to do that when the kids were younger. And I will admit now, this is several years ago, but when the kids were younger and then when the grandkids were little, we'd go to Kalahari.
Yeah.
That was kind of our place. But other people go to Great Wolf and some of the others that are down there. And you don't even have to go to those. We've been to, you know, if the kids are little, pretty much any hotel with, you know, an indoor park, which might be a pool and like two slides.
Yeah.
I mean, you win.
Yeah.
That's enough for the kids.
I mean, if they're little, we went to Great Wolf years ago. And I actually had to at one point be like, you're around children right now. You're having a good time, but maybe bring it back a bit. I was like in my childhood, like Noah's Ark state.
Oh, no, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
We did that. Great Wolf now has the large hotel water park that is adjacent or nearby Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
And we met up with family and our daughters and grandkids, and it was all really nice. But one of our daughters brought their little dog, very cute little terrier, very adorable, but they don't allow pets.
Yeah.
And so grandma and grandpa here volunteered to stay at a different upscale hotel nearby that did welcome pets.
Yeah.
And so we just kind of played the role of, you know, the pampered pooch, like, here, you just stay here in this nice room while we go play with the grandkids. And the thing is, we got to sleep that night. It was nice. We got to play with the kids by day. But that night when they're all riled up on sugar and pizza and everything else, we can say to our daughters, good night. We're heading over to our hotel, you know, because you brought your dog. We have to go over to this one.
I really want to see. What do they call you? Grandpa, Grandpa Pat, G-Pa? What do they call you?
Grandpa. Just Grandma, Grandpa.
Oh, you're probably the best grandpa ever.
Maybe. Some.
You seem like a guy who's built for grandpa. Like, you just got that spirit about you that says,
oh,
come here. All those things your parents won't give you, grandpa will give them to you.
Yeah, I'm pretty darn close. Yeah. Really am.
Good.
On one daughter's side, the son-in-law's parents, they go with different names entirely,
yeah.
Which are kind of variations of their first name. And that's all fine. I'm actually glad they do that. And it works for them. Clearly the kids use it, but for us just to be plain old grandma and grandpa is, I mean, it warms my heart. Yeah. Honestly, it does. You know, yeah. what we did was, my mom, her name is Joan, mm-hmm. but one of my nephews, when he was little, we started by calling her Grandma Joni, because yeah. there are multiple Grandma Kreitlos in the family, thanks divorce. And so she was Grandma Joni, but she shortened it to G Joan. And so she's been G Joan ever since.
My mother is Grandma J to the kids, and they also call her GJ.
See, that's perfect. And, yep. and again, nothing wrong with, we know a couple of Gigi's and things like that. That's all good. I don't mind kicking it old school for this one.
Darn
I'm
right.
a happy grandpa. That right. Let's do some temperatures around the state at 7:15 right now here on Lake Wissota. It's 24. Hayward is at 20 degrees. It's 20 in Park Falls as well. Wausau is at 21. Green Bay, 26 degrees. La Crosse is at 27. Wisconsin Rapids is 22. Oshkosh is 26. Madison at 27, Waukesha 27 degrees as well. Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology joins us now to tell us more about the forecast as we head into midweek. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, temperature-wise today, it's not moving around too much compared to our current temperatures this morning. Most areas already pretty close to the forecasted highs today. Overall, cooler compared to yesterday as that cold front pushed through. Mid to low 30s for the southern half of the state, mid to upper 20s for central and west central Wisconsin. Sunny or becoming mostly sunny across the board today. Wednesday starting to warm back up a little bit as a warm front begins to push through. Sunny for all, highs primarily in the mid to upper 30s. Our coolest spot around Wausau lingering in the low 30s there. Thursday, sunshine again, even warmer with that warm front continuing to push through. Highs in the mid to low 40s for all. Friday, it looks like some cloud cover starting to come in for everyone. Temperatures similar to Thursday with highs once again in the mid to low 40s. Looks like a slight chance for some rain coming in by the afternoon hours from Wausau over towards Amory and Baldwin. Then a slight chance for rain and snow mixing, then becoming all snow in the evening hours there. Otherwise, it does look like a chance for some rain coming in for everyone else by Friday night.
All right. And Jennifer, just to let you know what we were talking about before, you know, coming up on winter here. You can go on a winter vacation, skiing, snowshoeing, whatever it is you like to do outdoors, or a water park for a weekend. Where are you when it comes to winter weekends?
Ooh, I'd probably pick the water park.
Yeah. Okay. See, we're kind of that way here too. So you're amongst friends. So good call. Thanks, Jennifer. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. I'm sorry, Greg, did I hear you there? Okay. I wasn't sure if you were going to ask Jennifer a question or challenge her on her choice of water park over. I don't think any weather person likes to be put on the spot, like choosing indoors instead of outdoors. Like every weather person is supposed to be like, oh yes, I'm outdoors every chance that I get. No, it just means you like to forecast the weather.
What's your favorite natural disaster?
Tornado, hurricane, go.
I'm going with prom 1995.
Oh no. I've got the prom story. I've got the prom disaster story.
Oh Lord.
Only because my date, my girlfriend, broke up with me the week before, but we decided to go to prom anyway because we'd already paid for the tickets. They were expensive and the dress was expensive and the tux rental. So we went through with it, but awkward. We did the bare minimum, you know, of dinner. We listened to like one song for the band and we kind of looked at each other like, you good? Yeah, I'm good. All right, we're it.
Okay.
Contrast that, another friend of mine though, she did not get asked to prom by any of the boys, and she had to work as the coat check girl at prom.
Ugh.
So every time I think I had a bad experience, my friend reminds me, were you the coat check girl at your own prom? No, got that going for me. We'll talk about the Packer game last night and more coming up right after a quick pause here on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK, The Todd Albaugh Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the Wright Bauer for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would...
Come on!
And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The party's on. The feeling's here.
Huh. Sounds like a really good version of a Christmas song I heard someplace else.
Just keep poking the bear, dude. Just keep
poking. Christmas time. This would be a group called The Shins. I'd never heard of them until this past weekend as I was fiddling around the radio stations, and up comes a better version of Wonderful Christmas Time, and I knew Greg would... I rushed to put this into the lineup so that Greg could compare and contrast with Mr. McCartney's version.
I am unhappy right now. Why do you hate me? Why do you hate me so? Yeah, it's my birthday too.
It's his birthday, and I'm torturing the poor birthday boy. I'm not sorry. All right, let's unpack some more of the news here at 7:21. This is, I guess, a standalone story. Some people would think this is a standalone story from Turkey and a soccer game in Turkey, but I don't entirely think so. The Turkish Football Federation has suspended all of its league games around the country after the president of one of the clubs punched a referee in the face at the end of a big match. The club president attacked the ref on the pitch, as they say, late Monday after the final whistle of a 1-1 draw. The ref fell to the ground and was also kicked in a bit of a melee. The federation announced it was suspending all league games indefinitely after an emergency meeting to discuss the violence. The ref was hospitalized with a slight fracture near his eye, but was not in serious condition and was expected to be discharged. The club president was considered to be at risk of a heart attack and was hospitalized overnight. He was ordered arrested pending trial on charges of injuring a public official. Now, during the questioning, and this is the part that caught my attention, the club president denied causing any injury, insisting that he merely slapped the referee, and he blamed the incident on the ref, whom he accused of wrongful decisions and provocative acts, citing unnamed judicial officials in this story. That's not the right answer. And so, you can say this is an isolated incident, but again, there's something rather Trumpian in here about inciting violence, causing violence, provoking violence, and then blaming the person, the victim of the violence, accusing them of wrongful decisions. That's not the response. That's not the right response at all. The right response is, I am sorry. I lost my head. I lost control. I will accept whatever punishment is meted out, because slapping, punching, kicking a ref, frankly, doing anything to a referee is wrong. And yeah, of course, leave it to me. I would draw that parallel from sports to politics in talking about the referees, but we'll save that discussion for another time, only to say that story stuck out at me because of the conditions that we live in which some people continue to play the victim even as they bring violence onto others and try to blame them for it. If you missed it at the top of the hour or in our last hour, the Texas abortion case of Katie Cox, the young mother pregnant with her third child who has a non-viable pregnancy, has fled the state in order to get the health care that she needs to protect her health and protect her future fertility options to become pregnant again, because the Texas Supreme Court ruled against her and said, no, you do not meet what we think are the conditions for an exception in the Texas abortion ban. Now, I bring you that bad news to tell you a little bit of good news. And to do it, we have to go back 10 years. We have to go back to 2013 and the floor of the Michigan legislature. On the floor of the Michigan State Senate, they are debating a bill, and that this bill would have required rape insurance. In other words, health insurance companies were not going to be allowed to cover abortion as a result of rape. And what Republicans wanted and passed into law was a bill essentially saying that women needed to buy rape insurance separately if they needed assistance paying for this. Well, that didn't sit well with one Democratic state senator who stood up and revealed for the first time publicly that she had been raped while in college. And had she become pregnant, she would not have been able to afford an abortion under the proposed law. It's something that motivated her. She recalled receiving hundreds of calls and emails. She called it a turning point for realizing how much people cared about protecting a woman's right to choose if she should need or want an abortion. And her political activism continued. And now Gretchen Whitmer is no longer a state senator. She is now in her second term as the governor of Michigan. And yesterday, she signed a bill sent to her by the now Democratic Michigan legislature repealing that requirement for rape insurance, something she was extremely happy to do yesterday. She said it's kind of a stunning full circle moment where it does reinforce that these fights are worth having and they're winnable, even if sometimes it takes a little longer than it should. The voters spoke loud and clear, she said, and so I do think that in this moment, in this country, this is an important, crucial issue for a lot of people. She is absolutely right on all fronts. There's no reason it should have taken 10 years to repeal a requirement for rape insurance, but there's also no good reason why it ever should have been required in the first place to have that kind of assault on women, on rape victims, approved not only by men, but by women, I'm quite confident, who were conservatives in the Michigan legislature at the time. But it does remind us that even though sometimes these things take an awfully long time, they are fights worth having. Obviously, the people who are opposed to women's reproductive health rights think the same thing. It took them 50 years, but they eventually did repeal the abortion rights in Roe versus Wade. And so similarly, whether it's in line with civil rights or suffrage, allowing women the right to vote, or so many other worthy endeavors, these things sometimes take a long time, way longer than you would like. There were many people who fought for civil rights who died long before seeing the Civil Rights Act pass. There were many women who spent their lives fighting for something as simple as the right to vote, who came to the end of their lives before the 19th Amendment passed into law. And again, on a host of other issues that you could name. And in the case of Gretchen Whitmer, taking this as a state senator in 2013 and making one floor speech that resonated well with others, talking about her personal experience, she fought for 10 years to get the outcome that they saw yesterday in that state. In much the same way, our friend, Dr. Kristen Lierley, and others, along with Attorney General Josh Call, it took far longer than we would have liked for a Dane County judge to ultimately rule that an 1849 law in the state is not an abortion ban. Now, the court fight will go on. It does take a while. But again, it's because certain people like Dr. Lierley, Attorney General Call, and others stepped up that we eventually do achieve justice on important issues like this. When we come back, Congressman Mark Pocan will join us and we'll look back at 2023, a most unusual year for the United States House of Representatives. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north. Back in a bit.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Many Israelis are angry after learning friendly fire killed three hostages on Friday. CBS's Remy Innocencio reports.
In Tel Aviv's Hostage Square, thousands demanded their government make a deal with Hamas. Akshav, Akshav in Hebrew, meaning now, now.
And put the best offer on the table to get the hostages back alive.
Heavy rain and high winds are coming your way if you're along much of the East Coast. Meteorologist Brian Hurley is with the National Weather Service.
The coastal New England office, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, you know, they've got coastal flood watches, possibility of moderate, at least moderate flooding.
Senate Republicans oppose an agreement on immigration with the White House. The package includes funding for Ukraine. South Carolina's Lindsey Graham on NBC.
The bottom line here is we feel like we're being jammed. We're not anywhere close to a deal.
CBS News Brief. I'm Wendy Gillette.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Bucks shut down the Pistons. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks scored early and often and beat the Pistons 146-114. That ties the most points the Bucks have scored in a game this season. Damian Lillard with 33 points. Bobby Portis, a season-high 31. Everyone contributing Portis on how much that pumped up the team.
Big time, man. You know, guys stepping in, you know, having their moments, hitting shots, playing with swag, playing with confidence. That's big in basketball. All about rhythm. You know, I like where we're at right now.
Bucks rookie Andre Jackson Jr. got to start and responded with 10 points and 11 rebounds.
Cam hit me with a bounce pass for a dunk. I'm pretty sure Giannis hit me for that three in the corner. Somebody else hit me for the other corner three. So pretty much all my baskets were assisted, so that says enough.
Head coach Adrian Griffin.
Yeah, Dre's a winner. You know, he makes winning plays. It's amazing how it works when you don't care about your shots and you still, you know, the ball will find you.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cloudy skies, highs topping out in the upper 40s, light west winds. For your Sunday night, drizzle and then changing to a little bit of light snow. Mostly cloudy skies, blustery winds out of the west. Lows dropping to the upper 20s. Right now it's 37.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is...
In the breast
Breaking
milk
breast. Bucket. Breaking breast.
Breaking breast. Well done.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
A reminder, we've got Up North News Radio live for you today from Lake Wissota, and again on Wednesday and Thursday. And then starting Friday, I'm going to take a little break for the rest of the calendar year. We've put together some nice pre-recorded shows where we talk to some of our regulars that we have along, and we get to have much more casual conversations. We're also going to play back some of our favorite interviews over the past year. We've had some book authors in, some great health-related guests. So I urge you to continue tuning in over the couple of weeks here over the holidays, where we just take a bit of a more relaxed pace in terms of conversation. And we'll really get back to covering day-to-day news when we fire this baby up again come Tuesday, January 2nd, to start off 2024. It's been a year, 2023, especially if you're a member of the United States House of Representatives, as Congressman Mark Pocan is, and joins us right now. Congressman, good morning. Happy holidays to you.
Good morning, Pat. Same to you and your listeners.
I want to so badly try to keep this on a level of whatever one step above is how we would normally talk about, you know, a place that gives us Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and everything else. But I guess all I can do is ask it in the most open-ended way. Congressman, when you look at 2023, how are you going to look back at it?
You know, by the numbers, I think we've been the least productive Congress since the Depression. I think 22 bills have been signed into law that have gone through the House and the Senate. That includes, I believe, the post office renamings, which, as you know, aren't exactly significant bills as far as controversy. So we've done very little. And even when we have done things, like we made an agreement around lifting the debt ceiling that would have made sure we would have had no budget problems this year, those were broken by the Republican House majority within 2 weeks. And now we still haven't passed any appropriation bills. Our fiscal year ended, well, not, we've passed some appropriation bills, fiscal year passed September 30th. But, you know, we're way, way past where we should be. We can't pass a farm bill, so we punted for a year on that. Just a lot not getting done in Washington.
And it's with the same slim majority for Republicans that Democrats had. So, you know, granted, I mean, yes, the Senate is in Democratic hands. The White House is in Democratic hands. Things aren't exactly the same, but it's not just the fact that Republicans had a small majority that is responsible for so much of this year's chaos, right?
It's not quantitative as much as qualitative. You would think, oh, they only had a handful of seats. Well, we only had a handful of seat majority identical to what they had, and we passed four of the biggest bills in the last decade since I've been in Congress, from infrastructure bills to investing in making things here in America with the Science and CHIPS Act, to reducing costs around healthcare and energy with the Inflation Reduction Act, and getting us out of COVID all in one session. And then this session, we can't even do the 101, really, of Congress, which is the appropriations process. So there's a big, big difference. And part of that big difference was Kevin McCarthy, when he became Speaker, was so desperate to have Speaker on a business card that he gave away the store, changed the rules, put people who are some of the dysfunctional people here on every committee, including key committees like appropriations. And now we're just mired in the dysfunction that we're in. 19 votes for Speaker. We certainly can vote for Speaker. We just can't pass bills.
Let's at least acknowledge one thing that has gone right recently. Well, a couple of things, frankly. For example, the Ice Age Trail is now part of the National Park System. I see you put out a note about that, which is always, again, anything that contributes to both Wisconsin tourism and preserving our natural resources is a good thing.
Yeah, and you know that even though there were legislative routes, Tammy Baldwin clearly in the Senate, Glenn Grofman and I here in the House, it actually got done through the administration getting things done, right, moving things forward. And I think that is what we're seeing, is most action that has happened because President Biden's had the powers, but his powers aren't unlimited. So, you know, where we've had progress, it's largely been because of the Biden administration, not Congress. But that is something really good and worth celebrating, because once you get that extra federal recognition, it really does help us to take the Ice Age Trail, I think, in some really new directions.
The other example of that would be, again, through infrastructure, the bipartisan infrastructure law, along with, again, those other initiatives that were passed by a Democratic Congress, are continuing to bear fruit, and that would certainly include transportation infrastructure in the 2nd District where you are.
Yeah, you know, not just that. I also want to mention broadband. You know, $1 billion came to Wisconsin for broadband expansion. I'm guessing many of your listeners might have issues. I did until 5 years ago. I live in a rural town in western Dane County, 830 people. We only had it 5 years ago. So until then, you know, you tried different things. I think I had a Verizon satellite product, everything else. But this is making sure that more people will be connected. And then on the infrastructure, investing in our roads and bridges, you know, we've certainly seen a lot of dollars come to Wisconsin for that, in my district specifically. So that's all good, right? That's part of what we did in that last Congress. That's part of what the Biden administration has gotten done. And, you know, I was here, I think I remember four presidents who've talked about investing in infrastructure, and one got it done, and that was this president.
And yet, even as these initiatives continue to bear fruit, and they will for many years, and benefit Wisconsin and the state economy, local economies, there is still this ongoing, I don't know if debate is the right word, about, you know, the economic feels versus the economic data. And, you know, the data shows us one thing, and yet so many people express feelings of pessimism, despite, again, all of the accomplishments in the first half of President Biden's first term. My question for you is, as somebody who will be not only campaigning for yourself, but I'm sure on behalf of Senator Tammy Baldwin as she runs for a third term, on behalf of President Biden, what will be the types of messages that you bring to Wisconsin voters in 2024 to counter whatever it is that's feeding, you know, those bad vibes that people are assessing to an economy that the data shows is actually in better shape than their feelings?
Yeah, I mean, if you want a job, you can get a job right now. And that's across the country, not just in Wisconsin, because of a lot of the measures we did. And there's going to be a lot of good family supporting construction jobs because of that. And that's going to be really great for the economy. I think what we're seeing is, in some areas, inflation has lingered, you know, coming back out of COVID, the entire world at once, with supply chain issues because people weren't producing things. We saw lots of inflation. That's largely gone down. But, you know, bluntly, there's some people still price gouging. Personally, I think the president should call out the good players and call out the bad players, because some companies have been good about reducing prices again as costs have gone down. Others have decided to pad their pockets. And I think that's worthy of pointing out. But we really do have to celebrate the fact that you can get a good paying job thanks to a lot of the measures that happened. And people do have that opportunity. Costs still are up in some areas, but, you know, that's something that we will work on, or we need to continue to work on. And, you know, again, the good news is we're all out of COVID. The world economy is back humming, but there are some lingering inflationary issues. And you know, I think at the end of the day, as long as you have a good job and you can support your family and take that family vacation, maybe get that camper or snowmobile, whatever it is that, you know, you want for a luxury, you can do that now. And that's thanks to the economy getting to this point, thanks to the Biden administration.
Congressman, we're going to talk briefly about the conflict in the Mideast, which for our listeners, they'll pick up right away that it's something we don't dwell on very much here. We're much more a show that's rooted in state-based politics and policy and stories. But you have been involved in, shall we say, some feuding with the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC. It's AIPAC, AIPAC. And look, this conflict has definitely brought out not just strong feelings, but political cynicism. We've seen the absolute worst in some people who then ascribe it to religion rather than politics. But I would just like to know, you know, and give you the opportunity to talk about what is it that you and AIPAC are going back and forth on, and what you feel people ought to know about AIPAC as a result of recent events.
Sure. I mean, this is a battle really more grounded in Russ Feingold and campaign finance reform than it is in anything happening in the Middle East. So this group AIPAC is a big money group, that dark money group that puts a lot of anonymous money into elections. But what they've done is pretty nefarious. They and one other group, cryptocurrency folks, last cycle, for the first time ever, got involved in Democratic primaries and dumped millions, spending oftentimes twice, four times what the candidates themselves can actually spend. So they're really trying to buy elections. They're really making them auctions rather than not. In the case of crypto, the person who did that just got prosecuted. So I think he's out of the picture. But AIPAC is still the only entity that's doing this, that raises big money from big Republican donors like Sheldon Adelson and all those like big, deep-pocketed folks, and then spends it in Democratic primaries against Democrats for other Democrats. And by doing that, you know, we really could lose our democracy. If the NRA did that, if the Sackler family, if Big Pharma, we would all be crying out because it's really trying to skirt campaign finance laws. But in this case, it's a group that really claims, and I think most of their interest is around what's happening in another country, specifically backing the Netanyahu government. That's their preferred policy. But it's really a conservative Trojan horse, dark money group that's trying to buy Democratic primaries. And I just think if we allow this to happen, other groups will do the same thing. And next thing you know, only billionaires and special moneyed interests will be spending money in elections. Most of this is rooted in stuff that Russ Feingold talked about decades ago. And I'm just trying to make sure that we don't have that problem right now in 2024.
The funny thing is we use the word oligarchs to talk about Russia by and large. And yet I don't know that we're that far off from using, you know, words like that here. Even witness last week, we had a little fun with the news descriptions of Eric Hovde as a banking baron. We don't get to use the word baron very much, but apparently it's being used for a potential opponent for Tammy Baldwin. And, you know, the question we asked last week is, as she runs, and she was your predecessor in that second district congressional seat, the fact that we're talking about taking on barons or referencing oligarchs does say something about where we're getting our candidates from these days.
Yeah, I mean, things have not changed. Unfortunately, money still has tremendous influence in politics. And this is one. I mean, my favorite, I think, about Eric Hovde is, you know, he actually was named one of the 500 most influential people in Orange County, California, where he largely spends his time. And the fact that you have to transport a candidate from California to Wisconsin so that they can try to buy a Senate seat, much like they did with the Governor Evers, right? When you had, you know, Tim Michaels, who lived in Connecticut in a giant mansion and his kids went to school in Connecticut. That's where he lived. And he was running for governor here. You know, we don't need you to import rich dudes in order to try to get elections. I mean, we have plenty of talented people in every party in Wisconsin. But, you know, I think too often they're getting squeezed out by big money. So whether it be a group like AIPAC that's Trojan horse putting Republican money in Democratic primaries very disingenuously, or it's just outright rich people coming in and saying, I like that, I want it. Neither is good for democracy. And I think we need to keep that spirit of Russ Feingold living and really calling those things out.
And yet when we come back in the 2024 calendar year, you're going to have again a government shutdown that's looming to start the year. What's your sense of what January and February are going to look like with this new speaker, Mike Johnson, and where things stand budget-wise?
Yeah, again, that's the total dysfunction that's occurring by the House Republican majority right now. One of the Republicans from Wisconsin, who I won't name, I said, when are you going to vote on these appropriation bills? We're like months and months overdue. And their response is, oh, we're going to have a continuing resolution until January of 25. What that means is we can't actually pass a bill, so we're just going to have to tread water, which we've done before, but usually for small periods of time. In this case, they're talking about for the rest of the session, they may not be able to do anything. And don't forget the farm bill, which is really important in Wisconsin. You know, they punted for a whole year because they couldn't even figure out how to open up the box and put it together. And, you know, this is unfortunately what the House of Representatives is under Republican leadership, and especially now having a brand new speaker. I mean, even we just found out overnight, we were supposed to vote on some bills about, you know, government really sometimes spying on the public. And, you know, it's something that Democrats and Republicans can get together on, but because they only have such a small majority, they're yanking those bills now, it looks like, this week, because they can't do that. One more day of getting up to the little T and forgetting their bat. And it's just getting to be really a little difficult to see the end game for them. I think the end game may just turn out to be the public says, look, we need people who can actually govern. And, you know, I love the fact I've got a good family supporting job. Now just give me lower costs and we're going to be good.
A more cynical person would think that they're doing all this punting, much like the legislature does with a surplus, to just run out the clock and hope they can win the next election and control it all. But we'll see. Congressman Mark Pocan, thank you again. Always great to talk to you. Have a great holiday season.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right, back with Chad Holmes after this. You're up north.
You're listening to the Shaw, WAUK.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Still ahead today, the usual lineup. Greg will be back for As Goes Wisconsin coming up after our 8 o'clock shows. You've got Todd Alba from noon to 2, Matt Flynn from 2 to 4, Devil's Advocates from 4 to 6, Maggie Dawn up at 6 p.m. We've got all kinds of great weekly shows that play in the evenings across the Civic Media Radio Network. But at 8 o'clock, we've got Chad Holmes here in Wausau on Bull Falls Radio, Stephanie Miller in Madison, James and the gang in Wisconsin Rapids, Earl Ingram on many other Civic Media stations. But Mr. Holmes joins us now to talk about things happening on Bull Falls Radio up in your neck of the woods, where the studio, I got to say, is coming together very nicely. I saw pictures of a lot of artwork and things getting put up in the new studios downtown.
Yeah, it's really coming together really nicely. It's adding a lot of nice little ambiance along with everything else that we got going on here. But before we go any further, I have to say happy birthday to Greg Bach. I was tuned in before. Got to say, apparently he's still young enough where you celebrate birthdays. I'm so past that now, but happy birthday to Greg Bach.
First of all, thank you, Chad Holmes. The studio looks great. Thank you for remembering. I just got to say, it really makes me feel good. Thanks a lot, buddy. You know, okay. All right.
I've added a happy birthday banner. I put a banner up on the screen for the live feed that says happy birthday, Craig. Yeah, oh, it's Craig, isn't it? It's Craig. I'm sorry. Let me take that down.
You could have put down happy birthday. What's your name?
This whole segment's going to just have.
So weaponized Paul McCartney now. This has gone off the rails.
I am a firm believer, Chad, that even I you don't have to do a big to-do. You don't have to do a birthday week. That's a little weird. Mm-hmm. But it's your birthday. You should celebrate. You should, you know, buy yourself a present, take yourself out for a meal, whatever. But you should people at least should that one day, it. Just yes, yes. Your day. It's good.
And by the way, there's somebody else. It's always every December 12th. I always remember it being the birthday because when I was a kid, my favorite Milwaukee Brewer was Storm and Gorman.
Heck yeah, baby.
It's his birthday as well. So happy birthday, Storm and Gorman Thomas.
And because of that, let's just. You started this, dude. You started this. That's, and I I'm going to end it.
And so you have. So, Chad, now that you've become the skunk at the garden party, you want to tell us what else you're working on up there?
Hey, I want to kind of let people know about tomorrow because tomorrow's got a nice show. We're going to start off with Kristen Alfheim. She does a show over in the Green Bay area, a Rational Revolution, but it's also special because me and her graduated the same year from DC Arbor. So it's wonderful to have somebody that I graduated high school with that's also here with Civic Media. So it's fun to have be able to talk to her tomorrow. And then tomorrow as well, I'm going to be talking to Doug Denny. He is a councilman here in Wausau, and he's running for mayor. So it's going to be, you know, I want to make sure that as we get into the, you know, the spring 24 election with a very important election for mayor, along with others here in Wausau, get a chance to talk to Doug Denny, find out, you know, why he's running in terms of the issues important to him, and find out about his background. I think folks know him a bit because he's been a councilman for a couple of terms, but Doug Denny, who's going to, you know, be going up against incumbent Mayor Katie Rosenberg, I think it's going to be a very interesting race. There's obviously some very important issues going on. So we'll be talking to Doug Denny tomorrow morning at 9:20, and then we'll have the mayor back on next Monday to kind of continue to talk about the issues that we'll be focusing, you know, as we get very close to 2024.
Do you, when you have these conversations, do you foresee that there are specific issues that will shape a mayor's race in Wausau, or are they much more at kind of a 30,000 foot level of, you know, spending overall and taxes overall and their resume, you know, things like that?
You know what? One of the interesting things about this race that I think is going to be a little different than maybe some of the other races we've seen in the past is the role of the mayor. I think you are as well aware, and I think a lot of us who, you know, deal with Mayor Rosenberg and people here in central Wisconsin, it's what does the Mayor Rosenberg feels her, she uses her bully pulpit. She is somebody that is not afraid to be involved in non-economic issues as a leader of this community, of standing up at times when she feels like it's important. When Councilman Denny announced his candidacy, I think about a month and a half ago, one of the quotes that was put in all the reporting on it, he talked about, I didn't bring my notes in here, but basically, a little less of that. And I'm going to kind of go.
Are they getting into the running government like a business type of thing? Is that what we're talking about?
That it's that far, but I mean, I don't want to put word. I mean, that's one of the issues I'm going to talk about with the alderman tomorrow is that because, I talked to the mayor about this last time around, and she actually is embracing the idea that her opponent is running in this way. And again, it's one of the issues, but it was one of the issues that was kind of brought out during the launch. And I want to kind of delve into that because I think that, and I think there's different ways of being in a position of leadership, but I do think the moral aspect is something that's important. I kind of want to delve a little bit into that and let the councilman discuss what he thinks in that area. And I think that's going to be one of the aspects outside of the water issue, outside of some of the economic issues that, again, I think there are some folks, I mean, as you know as well, I think that the mayor is somebody that is beloved by many, but there are others that feel like she does go maybe into some areas that maybe they would rather she did not go into.
Well, it's funny because they, you know, people like somebody who's charismatic when they also happen to agree with your positions, and when they don't agree with your positions, there's just too much out there. We need somebody that's, you know, much more businesslike. And by the way, let me be fair here. It's a perfectly valid argument that we've had forever in this country about strong mayor, weak council versus, you know, weak mayor, strong council, and other variations of it. And it works well with the right people either way. It really just comes down to sometimes what do you, the voter, feel like this time around? And if people right now like having a mayor who's extremely personable and charismatic and happens to agree with them on a lot of the values. But yeah, there's other times when people want somebody that's just kind of more quiet, business-like. I understand it. So I think you're going to have a really good campaign to cover. I hope it doesn't get bitter and very illustrative. I can't think of a better place to do it than on your show weekdays from 8 to 10. So enjoy all that, and we'll keep us up to speed on it. But also, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you. Thanks so much for all the updates throughout the year here.
Thank you, Pat. And again, Happy Birthday, Greg.
Thank you, Chad. Pot,
don't you? All right. Well, coming up tomorrow after Greg Bach's birthday, day plus one. We'll have our hometown education segment and much more. Enjoy your Tuesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Up north.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more?
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.